Tov, we are starting Perek Tes. I'm not sure if we're going to finish today. We'll see. Okay. La'yehudim ha'isa orev esimcha v'sason v'yikar. We pointed out last time that there is a great feeling of Jewish pride, of the ability to stand up for our lives, and that in of itself is the beginning of the Yeshua, and therefore Am Yisrael feels very, very enlightened. At the same time, we did point out that there is something which is clearly missing, and I think it's going to be highlighted even more in these prakim, and that's the union of Eretz Yisrael. The union of Eretz Yisrael, although Esther asks for a lot, there is one thing that she doesn't ask for, and that's to return to Eretz Yisrael, and that's something which I think is going to be very, very important going forward. Okay. Perek Tes. Ubishneim asar chodesh, hu chodesh adar, bishlosha asar yom bo, asher higia dvar hamelech, vidasole haasos, bayom asher shibru oive hayudim lishlot bohem. So the day finally had come, 10 months had passed, and vinahafochu asher yishlitu hayehudim, hema bisoneim. The great vinahafochu. Vinahafochu over here, as we've pointed out throughout the entire Megillah, is not only acute v'na'afochu, everything about Megillas Esther is v'na'afochu. Ad kedei kach, that you look in like the more modern commentators, and they'll create these chiastic structures in which you could mamish, like, pay attention. You like that word, guys? Chiastic structures. You could, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Rabbi Etshalom, probably. This is a shout-out. Rabbi Etshalom, you taught me a lot. Okay. There's a lot of structural things which, if you look at, is so cool. The comparisons, the parallels between the beginning of the Megillah and the end of the Megillah. A chiastic structure essentially looks like this, a little bit. Okay, is that the story starts up top, and then there's different points along the story, and as the story starts to wind down, you start seeing the parallels going the other way. Which and they're parallel. So the entire story is v'na'afochu. Haman's plan, Haman, Mordechai not wanting to bow down, and who's bowing down? Mordechai wanting to hang and gets hanged. The Jews versus the non-Jews, and what ends up happening? V'na'afochu. Nikalu hayudim ba'arehem b'chol medinos ha'melech, achashverosh lishloach yad b'mevakshei ra'asam, So we pointed out already that there was a great pachad that we probably haven't seen from the Jewish people ever since the Knisa to Eretz Yisrael. Where else do we see the pachad? Right, we saw by Rachav, the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, they send the meraglim to Rachav Hazona, and she says, Kinafal pachad hayudim. Right? The people of Eretz Canaan are so scared of the Jewish people. But obviously this is very different. Why are they scared of the Jewish people here? They're scared of the Jewish people because the Gzera came out. The Gzera, the anti-Gzera of the first Gzera. And they recognize that now both Mordechai and Esther are Jewish people. They're in charge. And that means that what? They have government backing. So the pachad is real here. So the Jews get together to essentially get rid of anti-Semitism. Get rid of, as we're going to see, anti-Semites that are both outwardly anti-Semitic, people who are mevakshei ra'asam, that are actively looking to do harm to Jewish people. And as the Malbim points out, it's even those people who are a little bit more hush-hush about it. V'chol sarei hamdinos v'achashtar panim v'apachos v'osei ha'melachash v'amelch minas'im es ha'yehudim kinafal pachad Mordechai aleihem. As we saw last time, there were people who were mit yahadim. There were people who were what? Who were converting. Those who didn't convert were minas'im. They made the Jews, they sucked up to the Jews. They said, oh, the Jewish people, oh yeah, we always loved them. Right? The politicians came out. They started making their rounds around Borough Park right before the elections. We all holding in that, right? Minasim es hayudim. Ki gadol, exactly, Mr. Blasio, right. Okay, Mr. de Blasio. Ki gadol Mordechai beveis hamelech. Vishamo holech bechol hamdinos ki ha'ish Mordechai holech begadol. So then this pasuk is essentially telling us why the pachad was so great, because of Mordechai. So what happens? Vayakua Yehudim b'chol oyvehem, makas cherev v'hereg v'ovdan. Once again, la'abed. La'abed is this v'nahafochu. Vayasu b'sonehem kirtzonam. Kirtzonam essentially pointing out over here that they had everything. They did everything that they wanted. U'b'shushan habira hargu ha-yehudim v'abed, chamesh me'os ish, 500 people in the city of Shushan, including ves parshandasa, ves dalfon, ves aspasa, ves porasa, ves adlaya, ves aridasa, ves parmashasa, ves arisai, ves adirai, ves vaizasa, aseres b'nei haman ben hamdasa tzorer ha-yehudim, hargu u'bebiza lo shalchu es yadam. So they kill 500 people, including the 10 children of Haman, u'babiza lo shalchu es yadam. Pay attention to that. We're not going to translate that for right now. But, u'babiza lo shalchu es yadam. Bayom ahu, ba mispar ha'arugim b'shushan habira lifnei ha'melech. One might think that this was like a sporadic, sort of random killing of Jew haters throughout the world. But it's not, because if you take a look at the psukim, it says that the number of people killed came to Shushan, right? So it's like we're in the news, right? That's always like the headline is how many people died, right? There's an exact cheshbon over here, an exact cheshbon, right? The number comes, and you would think that if this is a large amount or if it's an unproportionate amount, so then Achashverosh would be upset, but lehefech exactly happens. Vayom ramelch le'ester amalka b'shushan habira. Hargu ha-yehudim va'abeid chamesh meos ish v'esaseres b'nei haman b'shar medinos ha-melech me'asu. So Achashverosh says 500 people. Okay, what about the rest of the empire? What happened over there? U'mashei laseich v'inasein lach u'mabakashaseich od vate'as. Almost, once again, sort of mimicking the sort of the rhetoric which we've heard earlier from Achashverosh and his support. So I think this is also another reason to say that Achashverosh, very hard to say that Achashverosh had something very actively against the Jewish people, and lehefech, that he was actually interested to some extent in the success of the Jewish people, and that's why he even says, like, what else can I do for you? At the same time, and I hate to speak about sort of current events and trying to compare situations, but you can also maybe possibly hear a little bit in Achashverosh's voice, it's like, what else can we do for you? Achashverosh does not suggest that his soldiers will go out and fight anti-Semites. What does he do? He says, what else can we do? How else can we support? It almost reminds us a little bit of what's going on right now. Just a little bit. A hint. Does it not resonate a little bit what's going on with NATO and the alliance and the Americans? What else can we do for you? How else can we support you? Chas v'shalom, we're not going to get involved firsthand. We're not going to start a no-fly zone, and we're not going to put troops on the... Because that obviously wouldn't be the right thing. But it's so immoral what's going on. So I find a little bit, once again, take it or leave it, but I find a little bit that there is a similar sort of tone in Achashverosh's voice. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vatomer Esther imal ha-melech tov yinasein gam machar la-yehudim asher b'shushan la'asos kedas hayom v'esaseres b'nei haman yitlu al ha-eitz. So Esther says a wild thing. You would think that the day is over, right? The day had come, Yud Gimel had come, they had fought, they had been successful, 500 people killed, the 10 sons of Haman, who essentially represented this anti-Semitic sort of form of hatred towards the Jews. And she says, no, tomorrow also, and we spoke about this inyan about Machar with Amalek, is that she specifically wanted to do and be metaking what Shaul doesn't do. She realizes that there are still people left over. There are still people who are hiding away, which are still mevakshei ra'asam, so she wants to make sure that there's no one left over, right? Not only that, but she requests that the 10 sons of Haman be hanged on the gallows. Now, what's the purpose of this? These people are dead already. Huh? to publicize it. You know, you see the people hanging in the middle of Shushan. You don't mess with the Jews. That's what she's saying. They're dead already. Once again, we have Kavod Hames, and I'm sure they took them down Le'es Erev, but this was clearly a harta'a. We have Kavod Hames for everyone, yeah. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, huh? Even for Amalek. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, even Amalek. Okay, Pasuk Yedalet. Vayomer Amalek Le'asos Kein, Vatinasin Das B'Shushan V'Esaseres B'nei Aman, Talu. Okay, so Ahasuerus gives his gushbanka. It's all good. Go ahead. They hang the children of Haman. The 14th, they also come. They kill another 300 people. Ubabiza lo shalchu es yadam. Ushar hayudim asher b'mdinos hamelech nikalu v'amod al nafsham v'noach moivehem v'arog besonehem chamisha v'shivim aleph 75,000 people are killed on that day. Ubabiza lo shalchu es yadam. So many have pointed out that this number seems a little bit, it sounds like a lot of people. 75,000 people killed in one day? That's a massacre. Okay, it's spread out amongst 127 different places, but it's a lot of people. Okay? So a lot of, especially the more modern commentators with the sensitivities of, modern sensitivities, find a big problem with this number. It seems like, right, also the Pesukim sort of describe Kirtzonim that they did, Ish V'Isha, that they sort of had this huge massacre. So I want to point out something which I believe they overlook, and that's the ikker here, is that three times in the last 10 psukim we have a line, and what's that line? Ubabiza lo shalchu es yadam. Mordechai said in the letter that was sent out to the Jews, to all the nations, you can take the biza. You can take it. You can take it. They're allowed to take from the spoils of war, right? But they don't. Why don't they? We pointed this out in the first war of Am Yisrael against Yericho, right? Yericho, Yoshua makes like a cheren that they're not allowed to take. Why are they not allowed to take? Although Mordechai says you're allowed to take, they don't take. Why don't they take? Not only as a bikurim, but to show that killing people is not because we want to kill people. Killing people is not because we want their money. Killing people is an act of defense. I'll tell you guys firsthand, a terrorist is killed and the IDF doesn't seize their property. They don't seize their property. Very often they'll destroy a home. Right, but they won't seize the property. It's a capital offense if you take money from an arrest. I was on an arrest once with my battalion, and one of the guys had stolen a few hundred shekels from one of the houses, and he got kicked out of the combat unit. Okay, because as Am Yisrael, we're the IDF. We're not the IAF. We're not the attacking forces. And I think that this is also a nekuda which the Megillah is trying to point out, is that it wasn't about just going and killing and massacring people. Ubabizan lo shalchu es yadam shows that this was a defensive war. And also as being people, as being Jews in the Golos, that's clear that being an attacking force, Jewish people in Golos survive. That's what they do. They survive. They do not strive. They do not attack. They survive. Okay. Pasuk Yitzayin. Ubiyom shalshasar lechodesh adar v'noch ba'arbasar bo v'aso oso yom mishta v'simcha. So on the 13th day, what's the progression of events? On the 13th day was the day that they go out to war. What happens on the 14th day? They rest. They rest on the 14th day. Where do they not rest? In Shushan. In Shushan, they rest on the 15th day. Okay? So for Shushan, they fight for 2 days. Outside of Shushan, they only fight for 1 day. And they made the 14th day this Yom Mishta v'simcha. Yom Mishnah v'simcha, not like Mordechai had wanted it to be, as a Yom Tov. As a Yom Tov. Okay. Pasuk Yilches. V'ayudim asher b'shushan nikalu b'shlosha asar bo, b'arba asar bo, v'noach b'chamisha asar bo, v'asoso yom Mishnah v'simcha, also the people of Shushan. The same thing, but just on the 15th. Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prazim ha-yoshrim ba-arei ha-prazot osim es yom ha-arba-asar l'chodesh adar simcha u-mishtev yom-tov u-mishloach manos ish l'reyo. Okay, over there, if you guys paid attention, there is still a yom-tov over here. So Am Yisrael went through, for sure, on the first year, the second year, and maybe even years following, there was clearly a progression in the development of the kiyum that we have today of Purim. So at first it was clear, I think this is something that, I don't remember who was speaking about this, but it's clear that the first stage is totally spontaneous. It comes from Am Yisrael. There's no gzera from Mordechai to do this. Rabinovich was speaking about this. Exactly. It came from Am Yisrael on Thursday night. That's what Rabinovich was speaking about. That's the Avas. That's the Avas Hashem. That's the Avas Anesis that they took upon that. I want to point out one other thing, and this connects back to the Nekuda which we were speaking about, the slaughtering, right? And what is that point? When do they make the holiday, guys? They make the holiday on the 14th day. If they were celebrating the war and the massacre, when would they make the holiday? On the 13th, for years to come, right? But they're not celebrating the massacre. They're celebrating the Yeshua, which came as a product of them saving themselves. Okay.
That's why I have the whole month of Adar.
That's also part of the reason why throughout the entire month.
Just celebrate like a battle.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, Pasukov. Vayichtov Mordechai said dvarim ha'ila vayishlach svarim el ko ha'yudim asher v'chol medinos ha'melech ha'chashverosh ha'krovim v'arechokim. Now only does Mordechai send out a letter. L'kayem aleihem li'os osim es yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar v'es yom chamisha'asar bo b'chol shana v'shana. Every single year, now it is instituted from the Rosh Sanhedrin or whatever he is to now celebrate Purim. Kayamim asher nachu b'ayim ha'yudim o'yvehem v'achodesh asher ne'efach lehem miyagon l'simcha u'me'eva li'yomtev la'asos osam yimei mishta v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l're'eu matanos le'ev yonim. Mordechai adds Matanos Lev Yonim. It's not for now to discuss exactly why he adds Matanos Lev Yonim, but he obviously feels the need to add this Matanos Lev Yonim, which Am Yisrael did not feel sensitive to. So now the Jews start progressively accepting what Mordechai says. Ki aman ben hamdasa agagit zorir ad ko ayudim chashal ayudim la'abdam vipil pul hu hagaral umam la'abdam. This is part of the first letter which Mordechai sends out. He doesn't originally send out the entire Megillah. He sends out like a small converted version, right? Haman tried to kill us and he made a pur. Ubevoa lifnei ha-melech, amari amasev yeshuv machshavto ha-ra'a shechashav al-yehudim al-rosho, v'talu oso v'espanav al-eitz, and he tells the entire story. Al-kein karu li'amim ha-ele purim al-shem ha-pur. Stam, chever, that we should pay attention to this. How do we know that there was a pur? Like, this somehow, this becomes like the center and the name of the holiday. Which, like, Lechora, no one knows that there was a poor. How does Mordechai know that there was a poor? Right? So there was clearly some form of Ruach HaKodesh going on over here. I don't know. Does she know that there was a poor? I don't know. Does Achashverosh even know that there was a poor? Achashverosh only has come to after what? After he already made the poor and everything. Hashem apur al kein kol divrei geres hazos umaro al kach umai gialim kimu vekiblo ayuhudim aleim val zaram val kol anilvim aleim v'lo yavor lios osim eshnei yamim aleila kichtavam uchizmanam bechol shana v'shana. Guys, pay attention that according to the Megillah, we keep both days in the times of Mordechai and probably in the tkufa after Mordechai for a long time they kept 2 days. Vayamim ha'ela niskrim v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor, mishpacha u'mishpacha, medina u'medina, v'ir v'ir, v'yimei ha'purim ha'ela, lo yavru mitoch ha'yudim v'zichram, lo yasuf mizaram, mikan lamdu chazal, that Purim will
be forever.
V'atichtov Esther ha'malka bas avichayel Mordechai, yudis kol tokef l'kayem es yigeres ha'purim ha'zos ha'shreinis. They send out a second letter. Kanireh, that this second letter is the Megillah that we have. Guys, hold on. It's about to get exciting again. So this was written down. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's the end of the story. The end of the story is that Am Yisrael has Yeshua. And it's amazing and it's beautiful. We have a Purim. We have 2 days of Purim, which obviously later on developed into what? There's clearly a progression over here and a little bit of a machlokas between the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and the Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael as to how many days should we be keeping? How many days should we be keeping? I think that question is really, really important. And what the background, why a Jew outside of Shushan might think that there's no reason to keep 2 days. There's no reason to keep 2 days. I should keep 1 day. Okay? What does it remind us a little bit of the 2 days and 1 day? It's sort of remind us of Yantiv Sheni a little bit. Like in a weird way, it sort of reminds us of what we have, this tension between B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Chutz La'aretz is that there's 1 day and there's 2 days. Okay. Perek Yud. Vayasam HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al Ha'aretz V'yeh Hayam. Usually there's like a boo at this point, right? There's usually like a boo, right? But Lamaisa Mas, okay, until now, the government was run. This is a very important nekuda, which Mrs. Brown points out in her sefer, is that usually we understand this as to be like a boo nekuda. It's like, oh, you made a mas, you know, this is like the bad ending. But lamaisa, it's exactly the opposite, because you take a look. The Ibn Ezra actually points out that this is a happy ending, right? Until this point, guys, until this point, how is the government run? Totally fakakta government. Haman's making these rules and there's money and money's moving, 10,000 shekels, not 10,000 shekels, right? What do taxes represent? Taxes represent Seder. They're Seder. Why do governments need taxes? Not because they're corrupt, but governments need taxes because they need to provide services for 127 countries. It's not a simple thing. And Ibn Ezra actually understands this as this is a product of Mordechai and Esther. A product of Mordechai and Esther becoming in power, they institute this tax. Or they reinstitute the tax which was earlier taken away. Remember, guys, earlier in the Megillah, Ozzy, remember this? Earlier in the Megillah, there was a tax break when? After he marries Esther, there's a tax break over there. So essentially, it's not really even adding a tax. It's reinstituting the tax. Okay, beautiful ending. Very nice. My question, and the question which should bother all of you guys, is what is the end of the story? Like, what is next? It's like a to be continued. Da, 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 da. Okay, like what happened? What? If you didn't get that, you should go back to wherever you came from and do it again. Okay, do life again. Okay, Shkoyach, beautiful. Okay, what happens at the end of the dots? Yes.
It stays.
Avajirish
is up and ruling. Mordechai and Esther are in their new established positions, and we just live life again.
Right.
That's what Purim is.
That's like an amazing thing.
Hanukkah
also, Bichlal is.
They're still in Gaza.
What happened? So there's a lot of different ways how the story ends. Okay, one ending is a beautiful ending. Achashverosh, according to Chazal, dies pretty quickly after this story.
Yeah.
And then not before Achashverosh and Esther have a child. That child's name is Daryavesh. Daryavesh reinstitutes the ability, the Ishur, to return to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful. Great ending. Why wasn't that put here?
It's not part of the story.
It's not part of the story?
No. It doesn't help us.
Yeah, it doesn't help us? What is that? Esther doesn't
because
if it's about Megillas Esther, if it's about Esther, really Kasher Avadati, guys, we don't pay attention. I think your Nakuda is a right one. Kasher Avadati, Esther's life as a Jew is going to stay a Gullus Jew. Like she may, I don't know what she does on Pesach. She has a Seder, she doesn't have a Seder, you know? Okay. So what happens? So, like I said, according to Chazal, the Cheshbon is that Nehemiah comes, and the stories of Ezra and Nehemiah only happen after this story, right? Ezra and Nehemiah are not part of the first Jews that returned to Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about this, how Zerubbabel was the first Jew, and then there was a building freeze, right? Like in the times of Obama. In the building freeze, there was a building freeze. And then the end of the story of the Megillas Esther is that I think it's very, very difficult to say that. Meaning, like, historically, that is probably what happened. Historically is that eventually they built a Beis HaMikdash, but I think what else is historically correct is that Mordechai and Esther do not go back to Eretz Yisrael. They do not go back to Eretz Yisrael, and the truth is that even in the times of Nehemiah, most of Am Yisrael does not return to Eretz Yisrael. And the story that we're all anticipating is that the Geula, and it's amazing, and the Tekufa of Yishayo, that he says Koresh is going to come, Koresh Meshichi. The second base of Mikdash stunk, guys. It was bad. It was really, really bad. There was, you guys don't pay attention to this. The second base of Mikdash didn't have an Aron HaKodesh. It didn't have miracles. The Mishnah tells us what the miracles that happened in the first Beis HaMikdash that didn't happen in the second Beis HaMikdash. So now whether you say it's what Chazal say is before or after the story of Megillas Esther is Lo'alu Yisrael Kechoma. They did not return like a strong wall. And so one could claim, hey, listen, you know, it became very difficult. You know, we got comfortable, and now we have a job, a senator and a prime minister. Imagine that we have people. We have Jason Greenblatt, and we have a senator, and we have people in we have the Hasidish guys. You know, those chevra. What's his name? Ashley Tisler and all these chavres. Okay? But with this I'll finish, guys, is that I think, and these are the words of the Chassam Sofer, they're not my words. What happened? What shifted? What shifted, guys, from a day of Yom Tov to just a Yom Simcha Mishta is exactly that. Is that what Mordechai had in mind? What Mordechai had in mind was that this was going to be the Ischalta de Geula. This was the Ischalta de Geula. This was the beginning. It was Reishis Chevra. I'm not joking. It was Reishis Tzmichas Geulasenu. If you did not see that, you were not looking at the same reality that those Jews were looking at. They were looking at Reishis Tzmichas Geulasenu. They saw Koresh come, a Persian king, who said that Nevuahs of Yirmiyahu, that Bavel was going to be destroyed. Bavel has been gone for a long time. They have permission to return to Eretz Yisrael, build the Beis HaMikdash, bring back the Shekhinah. And they don't. They don't as a klal. And I think that part of the Megillah story is, and I don't want to end on a low note. Lehefech, I want to end on a high note. And I think that is our message, that Megillas Esther and the story of Purim is an everlasting message to Am Yisrael not to become comfortable in Gullus. although one might finish off and say, oh, look, the Jews, they lived a good life in Golus. The message is exactly the opposite. The message is to turn on your headlights and see what's going on. And see the signs which are being told to us and that are calling out our name. And Chevra, in 2022, Tavshin Pei Beis, we couldn't be closer. We mamish couldn't be closer. And we have to turn on our headlights. We have to put our glasses on. We have to open our eyes and just say, Yala, habaita, Chevra. Habaita. Tov, we should be zochei Mirz Hashem to be Mekayim Divrei HaPurim HaElah. Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we are going to continue Sefer Shmuel.